Our story is about the great sage Rav, the disciple of Rebbe, who went down to Babylon, was chief rabbi, headed the yeshiva there. And the story goes, there was once a pauper who had a claim against a wealthy person. And he came to Rav's court, and he obviously had to have some hesitation. How could he sue this wealthy person? But he had a just claim in his mind. And Rav greeted him with warmth and asked him, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want to sue a person that wronged me." And Rav asked him, "Who is the person?" And so the person said, "It is so-and-so, the wealthiest Jew in the city." Rav didn't look surprised at all. Rav said, "Okay, come back tomorrow together with him, and I'll hear both of your claims at the same time." And he told the secretary of the court, "Go and invite so-and-so tomorrow to come with the person over here who has a claim against him to court." The messenger went and gave Rav's hazmana. Hazmana is an invitation from the court. And the wealthy individual was standing by the entrance to his castle. He has all his servants all around him, and he hears the messenger come and telling him, "You have to show up to court tomorrow with this pauper." And he looks at him and he says, I'm going to go to court with him, with that beggar? If you bring me all the camels from the west, you won't be able to take the number of keys that I have for all my storage houses. And that pauper is going to sue me to court. You think it's my honor that I go to court with a man like that? I'm not coming." The messenger went back to Rav and told him what the wealthy person had said. Rav was stunned. He said, "Why is the man being proud with something that's not his? If a punishment comes from heaven, in one moment he'll lose it all." Rav said it, and Chazal tell us, when a person says something, and especially a big person, so even if he just says it could happen, Hashem sometimes automatically makes it happen. You guys know the story in Moed Katan? The Gemara brings a discussion whether a person who's sitting Shiva can cut his nails. And the Gemara quotes that one of the rabbis was sitting Shiva and he didn't cut his nails. So another rabbi came to visit him and he said, "Why aren't you cutting your nails?" So the one sitting Shiva said to him, "If you were sitting Shiva, would you be cutting your nails?" And a short time afterward, the other rabbi was sitting Shiva. And now the guy who had been sitting Shiva first came to visit the one who had visited him. And when he entered the Shiva, the one who was now sitting Shiva took his nails and threw them at him and said, "Don't you know you're not allowed to talk that way? What's wrong with you?" The fact that he had said, "If you were sitting Shiva, would you be cutting your nails?" That's what caused it to happen in heaven. Chazal tell us, "Brit kuta lesvatayim." God made a covenant with the lips that when we say something, even if we say it on condition, even if we say if it should happen, Hashem listens and Hashem says, "Gee, maybe that should happen." Just like Yehuda said, "If I don't bring Yosef back to you, I should be in excommunication even after I'm dead." And that's what happened. Yehuda passed away, and for years, for centuries, his bones wouldn't rest until Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the 40 years in the desert, begged Hashem to forgive Yehuda and allow him to come to rest. So Yehuda said a condition. He said, "If I don't bring Binyamin back, I shouldn't have rest even in the world to come." And even though he filled his end of the deal, Hashem still kept the other end of the deal. And that's why our sages say we should be careful what we say.
Very hard concept, obviously.
Very hard concept, yeah.
We need a better explanation for that. It's too hard to accept.
No, Chazal wanted us to be careful even with what we suggest might happen. Chazal wanted us to be very careful what we say.
No, but to say that because a person makes some conditional statement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that into consideration, makes it happen, whether even the guy's not, you're saying, just because he said it, it's just and he didn't say anything really wrong.
Oh, so
he's trying to make an impression on his dad in this case. Dad, I'm to take it seriously, you know.
How's that? So
I'm not going to rest until I bring him back.
Now he says, "V'chatati l'avi kol hayamim." I will find myself lacking before my father through eternity. And Chazal teach us that everything that happens in the world below begins with a decree up above, a thought in a human mind down below, speech, a sign, and an action, and then it actually comes to fruition. As we saw in the Drashot HaRan, when the Ran discussed the signs of the prophets, as we saw in the Drashot HaRamban, as is spelled out in the introduction to the Tana Debei Elio. And so when you have a concept that's up in Shemayim, doesn't have to happen. Then it evolves into a thought. Still doesn't have to happen. When a person takes that thought and brings it out to speech, what he's effectively doing, even if he says it as a condition, he is now giving that thought potential to happen in the world. He has brought that thought one step closer. So yeah, obviously, Yehuda, there was an aspect where God held him accountable. But it also goes with the fact that he said it. Because had he not said it, the mere accountability would not have caused him to lack rest for those centuries. And the concept is that when we say something, we have to realize we're not just saying something. We're actually giving it potential to happen. We are bringing it closer to happen. We could make a condition, that's very nice, but it seems that for great people, the condition isn't enough. The mere fact that they said it already causes it to happen. And Rav just said it, and a new messenger comes and stands before the wealthy person. And this was a messenger who came with his sword drawn and an army, and he had come from the Babylonian king. And he said, the king sent the decree. And the wealthy person says, what decree? And the messenger says, the king is very upset at you that you act with such pride as though you are king and he isn't. And so he has decreed that he is taking all of your wealth and all of it will be brought to his storage houses. And you too are going to be taken as a slave, and from today to the last day you live, you are going to be in the king's service working as a slave. You are forbidden from now on to enter this home, for it is not yours, and now we are going to put you in shackles and you're coming with us. The wealthy person was standing there and he put two and two together and he begged the messenger to give him time to go to Rav and ask forgiveness. And the messenger wouldn't listen, and only after he begged and begged, he gave him permission to go to Rav. And now this person was talking differently. He rushed over to Rav's house and he begged him. He said, I was wrong and I sinned the way I spoke, and now I don't have a penny left. Even myself I've lost. I've lost even my freedom. Now I'm going to be a slave forever. I'm going to be poorer than the poorest of the poor. Please, daven to Hashem that at least I'll be saved. You know, if I lost all my money, at least I shouldn't be a slave. You know, I'm going to be in such dire straits if this happens. That pauper I was supposed to come and be judged with you, he's going to be a noble compared to where I'm going to be. I wish I could still go to court. And he stood before Rav weeping. Rav saw that the man had learned his lesson, and he stood and davened to Hashem that Hashem should have mercy over this man who did tshuva. And Rav's prayer was accepted. The man had no choice but to return home. And after weeping and speaking before Rav, he was all shooken up. He came back home and he sees the soldiers have left and only the messenger is standing there. And the messenger says, the king, out of his great kindness, sent another message. This time, he's going to have mercy on you. And he will release you from the shackles, from the forced labor he was going to put you in. And for the time being, He's giving you back your wealth. But remember, it's a gift from the king. And that day, the wealthy person learned that wealth can change in one moment. In one moment, the person can become impoverished. In one moment, a person can become wealthy. And the wealthy person learned his lesson, and from that day onward, he wasn't proud.